It was funny. I was thinking I would ask us to close our eyes and to put our feet on the ground and to think that we are traveling through time and we are going through space. And close your eyes.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we are traveling through time. We are bound to Earth. And there is a speck. You see it from up above, and there is a speck, and it's getting bigger and bigger as you approach. And it so happens that you feel that you are going to enter into that space. And then just as you are entering that space, you recognize that that space is you. You are that speck out there. And then you open your eyes. You're here. Hey! So anyway, is there anything that you want to initiate with on your recollection of the pandemic?
I think, you know, such a big part of it being a teacher was that realm of how I had to explain things to the kids of what was happening at the same time as trying myself to understand what was happening.
Before you go there,
mm-hmm.
let me tell you that my name is Luis Melo Delgado, that I work with the Chapel Hill Public Library, and that we are in the History Lab.
Yes.
And we are recording for the pandemic, the Chapel Hill pandemic story. We are with Mandela Yang, which is my coworker. Mm-hmm. And can you remind us who you are and et cetera?
Sure. So my name is Gabby Lamantia, and I work here in the summers at the Chapel Hill Public Library in the Youth and Family Services Department. During the school year, I'm a teacher at McDougall Elementary School, and I teach second grade.
And what, it's like 1:05 p.m. on July, what, 13th? 14th? Ooh, yikes.
14. Okay.
July 14th, 2022.
Okay.
Good. So you were saying about your relationship with the pandemic and your work, huh?
Yes. A primary part of the pandemic for me was teaching through it. And again, trying to understand it myself and what was going on, especially at the very earliest stages, and convey it to my students in a way that they understood, and then all of the transitions that we went through with how we were learning, virtual learning, coming back in person, but only a little bit in person, and all that. So it was quite an experience, it has been. Trying to navigate that as well as possible with 7-year-olds.
Uh-huh. Do you think that the biggest part of your identity is what you do for a living?
I feel like it is. I feel like it is just, I think because I am far from perfect and I am learning all of the time, but so much of what I think about and so much of what I want to learn and do has to do with teaching, has to do with my kids, and trying to always think of new ideas and activities and what worked well and what didn't. And so I think that is a big part of, like you said, kind of my identity. I hadn't really thought about it like that, but I like how you put that. And I feel like that's true, yeah.
So how was the beginning of the pandemic for you?
So when I first, so I was teaching, again, second grade, and interestingly enough, it was the same group of kids I had had the year before. So I kept them, I had them for first grade, and then my principal had asked me if I could keep the same group of kids for second grade, and I did. Then, lo and behold, March 2020 comes. So we had been together for a very long time, which was beneficial because we knew each other so well, me and the kids. And I remember hearing the kids started asking me questions. and they said, there's something, you know, my mom or dad said something, like people are getting sick, but it's far away, and they were just frightened. They didn't know what was going on. And we were getting some emails from our principal and administration saying, you know, have the kids wash their hands more frequently and don't cause big alarm, right? But have them wash their hands, and that was kind of it. And then a few days after that, we got called into a meeting, and it was about how we may close school temporarily. And I remember sitting in the room and kind of looking at each other and thinking, wait a minute, what's going on? Like, I thought this was a couple people got sick in Europe somewhere. You know, we were so, like, we had no idea what the reality of everything was at that time. And so they said that's what may happen. They said, we may close for about 2 weeks. We're still waiting on the district to say, in that event, you guys will have to put together a work packet for the kids to work on at home, and then we'll be back. And that's that. And that is not at all what happened. And so then, you know, and I remember sitting with my friend, and we were kind of laughing. We're like, they're not going to let us out for 2 weeks. There's no way. Like, this is, you know, we're going to be back tomorrow. No big deal. And then I think it was actually the very next day we started hearing all of this, so school is closing and we're not coming back. And we were all so confused and what's going on. And, you know, a big part of working with kids is keeping a calm energy, because they can read and they can feel if you are frightened and stressed, and then it's not good. So I remember explaining to them what a virus is to the best of my ability, and trying to put it in just scientific terms. And I remember telling them, you know, at least for me, if you understand something, it's not as frightening. If you don't understand it, that's when it becomes very scary. And so I tried to explain what a virus is and how they spread and things like that. And we're gonna be at home learning for a while, and just to be safe, but none of us knew what that looked like at the time at all. And then we ended up just all going home and thinking, we have no idea what's going to happen. The kids didn't have computers with them. We had nothing. And so some friends and I went, they needed to get lunches for the kids, because you know, a fair amount of kids rely on school to have their meals. And so we certainly didn't want them to be without, you know, breakfast and lunch with school being closed. So we went into the cafeteria and we bagged lunches, and we would do hundreds of lunches and go and deliver them. And this was all in the 2-3 week time period of, we have no idea what else to do. We couldn't make lesson plans because we didn't know what we were planning for. We had absolutely no idea what was going to happen. And then they ended up saying, okay, here's the plan. You guys are teaching remotely. And we had to figure out what that meant and get kids laptops and hotspots for internet, because a lot of them didn't have internet access, and call and come to pick up laptops at school. And we finished out the year as best we could, not knowing what it would look like in the fall. And then come fall, we stayed fully remote. And I taught that way until almost exactly a year to the day. It was very interesting, because it was March 2021, it would have been, that watching a lot of school board meetings and things, and they were trying to figure out what to do and when to do it. And then some of the kids came back, and I had 10 in my class, and the other 6 stayed home. And so, yeah.
Sorry. Can I interject real
quick? Of course, yeah. I'm sorry if I'm saying
too
much. Okay.
I just want to go back to the moment where they said we're going to be doing remote learning.
Yes.
And thinking about that exact time, what was your reaction to that? Like, emotionally, also what you were thinking?
Yeah, so I remember thinking, gosh, I've taught a while, but I've certainly never taught like this. And so I was nervous. I really was. And I was trying to prepare for what to bring home in order to make their learning accessible. So I went into my classroom and did a quick mental inventory of what do I need to bring home. So I had big poster paper, math manipulatives, books, just anything that we would use day to day. I remember feeling very unsure about the whole thing, but also, you know, I knew I had to do the best I could for the kids. And calling them was really interesting because it was maybe 2-3 weeks into everything, you know, them being at home, and just hearing their little voices on the phone because they had no idea what was going on. You know, they just knew we weren't in school. And so trying to explain to them, so you know that computer? Mm-hmm. You're going to go on the computer, and I'm going to be there, and you're going to get to see our other friends, and they're going to be on the computer. We can't be in our class, you know, and it was a lot of, like, why can't we just be in school? Like, why can't we be there? I want to see everybody. And it was trying to explain that we weren't allowed and why, mm-hmm. But also not trying to cause panic. So that was tough.
That's Abby, the teacher, right?
Say again, I'm sorry.
That, what you're describing is, yes, Abby, the teacher, right? Yeah. How mm-hmm. you in your personal yeah. life, how mm-hmm. was your, you know, you discovered, you, all of a sudden, is all of this is thrown into you.
Yeah.
So what, your personal life, how was it affected?
So it was tricky to try and just figure out how to best do everything. One way that my personal life was definitely affected in the sense that my dad, who I hadn't talked to for years, we didn't have a very good relationship, unfortunately, but he ended up passing. He got COVID. And he had other health complications and things too, but that was a big factor, of course, for him going to the hospital and eventually passing away. So that was probably the biggest part.
And when did that happen?
It happened August of 2021. Yes. Yeah. On a much, 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 obviously smaller scale. Just, I think, what everybody else probably went through, if you can't go to a restaurant. You can't, you know, if you're going to go trying to figure out what was open, who you should see. And, you know, I remember, like, one or two friends and I, once we tried to figure out, like, is this okay for us to, like, get takeout food, you know, we would go to one of our friends' house, and it was just me and, like, two other girls who weren't leaving their house ever either, and we would just hang out and talk and try and maintain some semblance of normalcy.
I'm gonna go back to your mm-hmm. father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it in North Carolina? And you said you weren't in touch. How did it change your relationship with him because of COVID?
So he was in Pennsylvania. That's where I'm from originally. I'm from Pittsburgh, and he was still there. So that all happened very, very quickly, actually. He was admitted into the hospital, and my younger brother, who still lives in Pittsburgh, who didn't have a good relationship with him either. It's a very, very long story. We'd need all 7 hours left of the library to
okay.
But no, I'm not gonna do that. But he called me and said what was going on, and he went to go and visit with him, and it was maybe a day or two later he passed. It was very, very quick. And I was thinking back on the last phone conversation that he and I had had, my dad and I had had, and there had been many, many, many that had not been good. But that last one happened to be a good one. And so I had some sense of closure, mm-hmm. I guess, that mm-hmm. that it did happen to be, you know, in a good spot for both of us. But, yeah, that was definitely a big factor.
Do you think that changed something in your life?
I would say for sure thinking more, you know, mindfully and intentionally about when you leave someone, whether it's on the phone or whatever, to try and make it a good and positive thing, you know, because I think, you know, we all know, of course, on some level that, you know, it could be the last time you ever talk to somebody, or it could be the last time you ever see them. But it really solidified that, I think, for me, of gosh, I'm so glad that it was okay. I think that was probably my one of my biggest takeaways from it. Yeah.
I'm thinking about the role of a teacher as mm-hmm. a parent, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what I was thinking. Do you think the pandemic changed you a little bit or not? Or can you give us examples?
Oh, gosh. I think so. I think as a teacher, but also just as a person, being okay with the unknown is a big thing that I think I had to adapt more to. I'm a planner. I like to know what's coming next, and then after that, and then after that, right? I like to plan things out and have a clear picture. And with this, there was no clear picture. You know, we were all, I think, in a way of just, we don't know what's going to happen next. And trying to shift mentally to being okay with unknowns, and being flexible with change, because that was a big part, too, of just everything can change very quickly. You don't know how or when, but it's probably going to change. And so I think that primarily, yeah.
Did you leave any hobbies behind? Did you pick up any new ones?
So I didn't really leave any behind, but I did pick up a few new. So I liked to paint before the pandemic, but I didn't do it as often, and I painted quite a bit more during the pandemic. I also did only one, this hobby didn't stick, but like embroidery, mm-hmm. it was okay. I tried. It was okay. So years ago, I liked to play musical instruments. I played in high school, middle school, and elementary school, actually. And so I decided I miss playing an instrument. And so I'm currently teaching myself ukulele, which is not going great, but I'm trying. And it's fun. So I started that during the pandemic, and I'm still keeping up with it pretty well.
I see those activities as moments in which you are a creator, right? No, mm-hmm. What I mean is you are on your own, and you are responsible for your time and
yes.
for the things you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said you kept, you are still keeping
still.
That.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that lifestyle that came during the pandemic,
sure.
you think is still with you?
I think so, yeah. That's definitely another, you know, I've always loved to have some form of creative outlet. But I think you're right, like having more time, especially just time at home, of, you know, how can I channel, I want to do something creative, how can I channel that? Or like, it kind of freed up my mind maybe from scheduling things of, I don't have a schedule right now. So how can I use my time in a productive way and something that I enjoy? Mm-hmm.
Do you think the people you frequent,
mm-hmm.
do you see that reflected on them? Do you think your children, for instance, did they learn a little bit of that? Do they have any of those consequences?
Yeah.
Good consequences?
No, that's a good way to, or it's a good question too. And some, yes and no. So part of thinking on the remote learning aspect of it, of how it affected some kids and how it affected others, and that was one part of it. So for example, one little boy, he and his dad, and this was the first spring we were remote, he and his dad did basically a science show for us almost every day. And they would put up these little video clips of them in their kitchen doing science experiments. And he carried that through with him for quite a while. And he loved doing that. And he really thrived in that learning environment.
The father or the children?
The child primarily, but I will say the dad, he was very excited to be, I think, actively included, you know, because he had a job that wouldn't really allow him to come into the classroom, but then when he was working from home, he could be included in the learning. But on the other end, there were kids who did not thrive in the digital environment at all. Even when, you know, we would make sure they had access to internet and as much as we could take obstacles away. But at the same time, there were some we couldn't. You know, they might not have family members at home with them to help with assignments, and they desperately missed peer interaction. And so you could see them really have a hard time and really, really struggle. So I think yes and no to your question. Some for sure. I saw a lot of musical instruments come on the screen. Art projects they had done at home, building things with Legos, and because they were able to do that at home when other kids, you know, no. So it just depended, yeah.
Part of the pandemic experience, as I heard it, related to me, and maybe as I saw it, this is a morbid question. It had to do with death. Even mm-hmm. if you didn't see it in front of you, mm-hmm. there was that cloud,
yes.
you know, that threat.
For
right?
sure.
Do you think your peers,
mm-hmm.
Were they affected? Do you think your relationship with them somehow reflect that?
So I think it probably, well, yes. So I think times that we were together the bit that we could be, we would try and just really enjoy each other's company, you know, and maybe not go down that path. But all that to say, sometimes things would come up in conversation of, you know, family members were sick, or they're really worried. You know, I have a good friend whose mom she was going through cancer treatment, and she was very concerned about her being affected. And I would listen to Democracy Now, and they would talk about the death toll, and it's, yeah, a lot to process.
Uh-huh.
You know, and like you said, even if it doesn't affect you directly, you know.
So you grew up in Pittsburgh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is really pretty, right?
I
love the mountains. it's fantastic. Now you live in Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
How do you describe Chapel Hill?
I very much enjoy Chapel Hill. I think it is geographically very, very pretty. The people are diverse, you know, the people I've encountered, at least, you know, from different places and have different perspective on things, which is really, really nice. A welcoming community overall, in my experience. I really do enjoy it. I do.
Do you think it was a good thing to be in Chapel Hill during the pandemic?
Yes.
And how would you say it was good?
I think some of the, so having talked with my younger brother that I had mentioned before, he being in Pennsylvania, mask mandates were different. Less restrictive, and that to me made me give pause, you know, of I was very worried about him too, because he is a counselor in a prison. And so he was around a lot of, he had to be in close proximity with a lot of people. And a lot of people did end up getting COVID. And he would, you know, just update me a little bit about that. But that was very hard for him too. And I think being in a school system too that prioritized safety for the kids and for the staff was really important. And I think Chapel Hill, Carrboro City Schools did a, you know, their best job of what they could with that.
Do you, this, did you make any, how did you strengthen your relationships with the, your current networks? Did you make any, did you expand it, or it shrank to a level that you feel comfortable?
So, relationships... Which
friends,
like your okay. Interpersonal,
right,
interpersonal,
like
how were those
your
impacted
peers.
Yeah,
or not
so,
by the pandemic?
I mean, a lot of my friends stayed my friends through the whole thing. You know, we were there from the very beginning, but I think that helped to strengthen it too, because we got to see how we were each affected and had the sense of camaraderie, I guess. It also helped us understand our students' families more, because we would do the home visits, and that was very eye-opening as well. Very, very eye-opening to see them in their home.
Sorry, real quick, can you describe what the home visits were like?
Yes, so we...
Or like what that means, I
yeah,
guess.
No. So it was mostly when we were delivering lunches. And so it was my friends and I who were doing it. And so it helped us in the sense of having that, you know, we were together and we had a common goal and we were happy to help. And so that helped kind of lift our spirits a bit. But then, you know, sometimes we would go and deliver a lunch and you could see some of the living conditions that didn't seem to be very good for the kids in regards to overall cleanliness, and some of them, you know, you'd kind of, you know, you don't want to be invasive, of course, but you can kind of see, you know, it's dark, they're in there by themselves, maybe watching other siblings. So happy to see anyone, you know, and it was hard. It was really hard to see. And then at the same time, when I was teaching remote and you could see the background of some other kids' houses, so I didn't go to them, but you could see the difference of the affluent families versus kids who they may not eat if we don't bring them lunch. So that was... It was, you know, it was eye-opening. It was.
Mm-hmm. How do you think this experience living through this pandemic has shaped you as a teacher?
Definitely having to be flexible in how you deliver lessons. And recognizing for sure the social emotional well-being of the kids. And I feel like I've always done a fair job of that. Like I've always tried to be considerate of that, but even now more of you know, academics are going to happen, but you need to be in a good physical and mental space to be able to learn well. And if that's not happening, you're not going to learn. You're not going to learn well. And so when we went back into the classroom, I was thinking a lot about how it was such a change for them and how they've been through a lot, and they might need a little bit more downtime or a little bit more of a creative outlet. And so just how I've structured some things has been a little different. Trying to be understanding and patient, and teaching them to be patient with each other is a big thing. And I think there was a shift, at least I seem to notice it, with some of the kids' demeanors pre and post pandemic. And part of it was, I noticed, in teaching the same age range, it just seemed like the kids who had lived through the pandemic primarily were a bit more cynical, I guess. And I think it had to do with, and this is just, I'm guessing on my part, but I think a lot of them saw their parents struggle a lot and maybe were frustrated with things. And so kids, of course, emulate behavior that's modeled. And I think it was just, you know, and I don't blame them, but like having a little bit of a short fuse. And I could see, you know, kids say back what they've been told. And I could see that they were not as forgiving, maybe with some kids. Sharing was, we had to go back and teach a lot of, because they had been by themselves for so long. They didn't have to really share much of anything. Cooperative learning, I had to go back and teach a lot of. And we got there, you know, we did, but it was a shift. It was. I could see a difference of them kind of automatically thinking someone's out to wrong them. And I think maybe it also had to do with a lot of just imagery they saw in the media and things that they were hearing about all the time. Things are bad. Things are scary. They internalized it. A little bit of like distrust, you know, of just a lot of different things. But they've been very, very, very flexible, because they've had to be.
Do you think education as an institution, or mm-hmm. do you think there was a change? Do you feel a change on that? One thing is the classroom, but mm-hmm. the other thing is the what society expects from
yes.
you. Probably that's too big.
No, that's, yeah. I had some families who were very, very receptive and very thankful once they saw teaching actually happening. So I think maybe sometimes people might have one idea of what school is like. Oh, you're babysitting, right? And then when they saw active teaching all day, and then we would get emails, oh my gosh, they learn so much. Or like, you really do. Like, because it would be every single day they would see. And so there was a lot of good and positive that came from that element of, wow, I didn't know that's a really cool way to teach that math concept. Or, oh my gosh, they couldn't read and now they can. This is amazing, you know. But then at the same time, you do have the flip side of when we taught they called it hybrid. So when some kids came back in person and some kids were learning at home, that was, I think, one of the most difficult elements, because you were trying to be fully engaged with the kids who were in front of you, but then you have six at home that you also need to be fully engaged with. And that was really tough. And I think going through that, some higher-ups, whether it be district or state level, were impressed and happy with how things went. And I think others maybe now come to expect, oh, well, you handled it, so you can handle all of these other crazy things are going to throw at you. There was also a little bit of a shift I noticed with what we were told as teachers. When everybody first went remote, there was a big, big message to us of just do what you can. Focus on social emotional well-being. Do what you can. Give yourself grace. That was big. And then a couple months later, well, no. You need to get these kids at proficiency. And no. Why are these test scores not looking good? And so it was, wait a second, nothing changed. Only a little bit of time has passed, but our expectations were definitely, there were some things that were shifted. And that's been a hard thing to figure out how to do well too, because the curriculum did not change, but the kids have very much changed. And so trying to bring those together has been hard. It really has.
Gabby, are you a sports person? Did you pick up any of that? you know, maybe your health? What was your experience of the physical being in the amidst the pandemic?
So I have a good friend. I've always been pretty physically active and playing sports and things. I have one friend who taught an online class that is, it's called High Fitness, and it's like a cross between aerobic and Zumba kind of thing, but she would do Zoom classes, and it was a way for us to see each other on the screen. You know, it was a lot of fellow teachers, but some other friends too, and help her financially because we would pay her for her classes. And that was a hobby she had picked up during the pandemic, was learning the, because there's like choreographed, so it was a song and then the movements. So she was learning that, and we were benefiting from it. So we would do her fitness classes every week. She hasn't done them super recently, which I'm sad. I want her to come back. But it was very fun.
What was your favorite soundtrack?
Oh, my gosh. I love, I know it's so silly, but I love any songs that are from, like, the mid to late 90s, I think, because that was, like, when I was a middle schooler. And so it holds like a special nostalgic place in my heart. So anytime there would be things like that, I would love it.
Did you watch much movies? Do you remember anything of that?
Some, yes. I would watch, you know, some things on like Netflix, like Stranger Things. I really liked the show. They just came out with a new season, actually. Not a ton of TV, but definitely some. And I have friends who, they would send all kinds of recommendations in like a group text. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this? You need to watch this. You need to watch this. But a lot of them are into like true crime things, and which is great, but it's not big for me. I don't know. I get too frightened.
I'm curious a little bit about your mental and emotional health, because mm-hmm. you've talked a lot about, you know, how you try to receive your kids at school, mm-hmm. but what, like, how do you think you managed your own mental health and emotional health during this time?
So I think physical health, before the pandemic, I had a little bit of a situation where I was having high blood pressure, and with all of the added stress and uncertainty, I was concerned about that. And I, you know, wasn't really sure what to do, but I started taking some herbal remedies and things, and just what I could do. That was actually a big part of why I started getting more physically active as well, to lower my blood pressure. And so, like, yeah, taking more like supplements and more physically active, I think, was a big part of me physically. And I did finally, it's terrible. I had not been to the doctor in a long time. It's like embarrassing. But I finally went back and my blood pressure's good. So I was happy about that. Mentally, you know, I think trying to take time to do some like grounding exercises of, oh my gosh, I've been looking at my phone too much, or I need to stop checking emails or whatever, and just sitting. I like to sit outside if possible and just breathe and look around and just take in nature and sights and sounds, almost, I guess, meditative in a way, trying to be more intentional about that. Reading, talking with friends, you know, I think that's what's helped a lot. Yeah.
Health, blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
kitchen. what was your experience in the kitchen with, were you eating whatever delivery, or what do you do?
I cook, but I'm not great at it, and I also sometimes don't know what to cook. Like, it's not a big hobby of mine. So yeah, some takeout for sure. And like had a good repertoire of places that I would go to. Yeah, trying to eat well, but also, you know, sometimes you just gotta order some cookies or
So there's no new knives in Gabby's kitchen.
No, I can't say that there really is. No, no. I have a good friend who was baking a lot. She liked to bake before, but during the pandemic, she would say, hey guys, I made a new cake, or 3 days later, there's scones, or, you know, I mean, she was baking all the time. Mm-hmm.
Well, I do want to know, we're coming up to around the 45-minute mark, mm-hmm. So maybe we can start to shift either to, like, questions and things that you want to make sure to answer or talk about,
okay.
Or maybe bring it kind of closer to the present moment in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, just overall thinking about everything that's gone on. It's strange because sometimes, you know, it feel like, even though we're still in it, technically, right? Like, sometimes some of the things that we had to do seem like a strange dream, almost. Like, especially when I'm back in school with the kids and they're all around and everything's good, I think back to, wow, there was a time not too long ago when this room was totally empty. And that sometimes I would teach from school. It was empty, but I would teach from school because it helped me put myself more mentally in that space. But that was very, very trying mentally too, because it was just empty, dark hallways. And especially when the kids weren't on the laptop, it was silent. And I think that was one big takeaway for me, is it helped me appreciate just being together, because I so desperately missed kids, even if they were driving me crazy. I missed them being in the room, you know? And so I think that was a big takeaway as well. It helped me reconsider how much I really do enjoy what I do, you know, even during hard times. So
is there anything that you hope that we keep from this time?
Oh gosh. I really can't think of anything super specific other than, oh, actually, okay, I just thought of one. So when we would do parent conferences virtual, that could actually be very helpful for parents who are not able to get off work, but they can step outside and be on their phone for 15 minutes and get an update on their child. That's been very, very helpful.
So is that a thing?
I would, yes, so far it is. So far we've been given permission to give an option for in-person or virtual. That has actually been very helpful. Yes, I hope that stays.
Mm-hmm. And it's a wrap?
Are you asking me?
No.
It's a wrap?
No, it's not a wrap. It's now it's... Is there anything that we should have asked you? Are there any questions
honestly,
on the sheet
I
that,
think,
you know, compel you
I
to
really
want to put
don't
an answer into the record books of history?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think just, you know, having gone through everything that we've gone through and being able to, you know, think of how much we've all grown sometimes in ways we don't even realize, you know, of being a little more patient with each other and understanding that, you know, everybody's going through something. I think that's a big takeaway.
Right. I was thinking, as a final thing, if you want to send a message into the future, there was, once upon a time, there was something. What would you say to people listening to this? What was the pandemic, yeah, it's something about it, right?
Yeah. I would say, you know, life is short and, you know, be as understanding and forgiving and patient with people, and I'm telling this to myself too, as you possibly can, because, you know, life really is short and it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, if we can get through this, we can get through a lot of stuff together.